I am in love with a man. His name's Jesus. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I am in love with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, before we get into what we're going to share tonight, this is on my heart to let you know. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, remember when Paul and Silas over there, Paul was led by the Holy Ghost to go to Macedonia. He went over to Macedonia and he cast the devil out of a girl. And that girl was being used by people to make money. Well, when the devil was gone, she couldn't do the devilish things anymore. And that made the masters of that girl mad. And the Bible says they beat Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. But the Bible says that at midnight in Acts chapter 16, I believe it's over around the 25th verse, says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. You know, there's something about praise. The Bible says once they prayed and praised, it said, and then their breakthrough came, right? We see over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we see that they were in the temple, and when they began to praise God and lift their voice, saying, for the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, the Bible says that a cloud came in, and the cloud came in was the glory of God. And the Bible said it knocked the ministers right on their cans. They couldn't even stand up. Praise God. You know, the walls of Jericho was the first place that they took in the promised land, was getting through that land there after they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and there was a big wall there. Well, how'd that wall come down? Didn't come down by might. Didn't come down by force. They lifted their voice and they shouted and they praised and the wall came down. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's power in praise. Remember what it says over there in the book of Psalms? It says that the Lord inhabits, the Lord dwells, or the Lord takes residency in the praises of his people. Something about praise is a vehicle that brings God's manifested presence to the scene. And I just encourage you at home, when you're going through something and it's hell on earth and the pressure's weighting you down, just begin to pray, pace the floor and praise him. Lift your hands to him and say, Lord, I praise you. I magnify you. One of the things praise does, the Bible says this about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. It says that Abraham was strengthened or grew strong in his faith when he gave glory to God. The one reason you stay strong in faith when you give glory to God is because when you're in praise, your attention's on him. And your attention's off your problem. Your attention's off your circumstance. The more you look to him and magnify him, the smaller it looks down here and the bigger he gets. Praise God. So that's a word from heaven right there tonight. I did not plan on saying any of that, but the Holy Ghost said someone or some people need to hear that tonight, and you need to just start worshiping him. Do you think Paul and Silas felt like worshiping him when they were naked and beat in prison? No. It ain't about feeling, it's about doing, praise God. I mean, we could just go home right now and say we were blessed, but can't do that. Got too much to say tonight, praise God. Well, are you blessed? Amen. Amen. Go with me to James chapter 3 and verse 2, and we're going to pray here in a second. Oh, the word's good. Amen. When the Lord puts something like that on your heart, you know, and just to encourage people and to build people up, man, oh man, he's bigger than what we're facing. That's what I'm trying to say. Get your attention on him. Take your attention off the problem. Put your attention on him. That's what praise does. It holds your attention on him. Praise God. Father, help us tonight. Lord, you know what we need to hear. Father, we've already been blessed. We're so thankful for that utterance. Lord, I didn't think that up. I didn't plan on saying that. But Father, you love people. And so it's going to help us tonight. So thank you, Father, for what you've already done in this service. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do, Lord. We're going to hear from heaven tonight. Not because of me, but because of you, Lord. I just make myself a willing vessel, Lord, and like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like a pen of a ready writer. I thank you when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. Father, I thank you. I'll speak words from heaven, hit bullseyes here tonight, and it will lead to increase. It will lead to change. It will lead to blessing. So, Father, I thank you for helping us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for saying what you want said, doing what you want done. And, Lord, we'll always give you the praise. We'll always give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am fired up for tonight because tonight's going to bring increase to you. Praise God. But in James chapter 3, now, I do encourage you, the last time we were here was August 6th on a Tuesday night. I do encourage you to go back on the live stream and listen to that message because it'll change your life. There's so much utterance there. But why I'm saying that is because I'm piggybacking tonight on something that we had mentioned, but I'm just going to kind of go over just a little bit to remind you. It's been 2 weeks, you know, and so we need to remind you a little bit, but James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, for in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word. Now that word offend there means stumble. If you look up that word in the Greek, it means stumble. For many things we stumble. But it says, if any man stumbles not in word or not in their speech, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle or control the whole body or control their whole life. You say, is that really what that means, Pastor Mike? Well, if you go on and read it, the Bible, the number one rule of Bible interpretation is that the Bible will clarify itself. Thank God. We don't just pull things out of context, but look what he says here. So he says that if we don't stumble in word, we're able to control our whole life, our whole body. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Now, I think Julie's downstairs in the nursery hiding on purpose because we picked on her the last time she was here. But remember, she hopped on that horse without putting a bit in the horse's mouth, and that thing took off and dumped her in the horse trough. She got wet and bruised up. You know why? Didn't have a bit. Well, what's the bit do? The Bible tells us what the bit does. That the bit controls the whole horse, turns their whole body, controls where they want to go. Because remember, he just got done talking about controlling our whole life. And so now he's giving us an example. He said, a bit will control a whole horse. And then he goes on, verse 4, and says, behold, the ships, even though they're so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned. Notice that, turned. That means a big ship is going in a direction and it's turned. Sometimes we need some things turned in our lives. They're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or wherever the captain wants to go. So why does he tell us about the bit in the horse's mouths? And why does he tell us about the helm on a ship or the steering wheel on a ship when he was talking about offending in word? 1 verse 5, it tells us. Even so the tongue. That's a continuance of verse 3 and 4. What's he saying? Even so the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. Now, what's he talking about, a little member? Well, a bit compared to a horse. Julie said it's about this big. I'm not a horse person. That compared to a horse is tiny. But yet that bit can control, stop the horse, turn the horse, make the horse go wherever you want, that little thing. And then a steering wheel or a helm on a ship, in comparison to a ship, is small. But you can be driven of fierce winds and storm and rain, and all the captain has to do is say, let's go left, and that boat will steer through that from that little helm. And he says, even so the tongue. So what's he saying? He's comparing the tongue in your body as a member of the of your body, a body part, being small. Your tongue compared to your head is small. Your tongue compared to your arm is small. Your tongue compared to your leg is small. It says it's a small member, but it boasts great things. What are the great things that it boasts? If any man stumble, not in word. He can control his whole life. We know this. We saw that. That's why you need to look at that. Our words are so important. Remember what it said over there in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue boasts great things. What great things does it boast? Power. People all the time say, my kids are idiots. Why would you say that over your children? You don't realize what power you're creating. I'll never make it. It never turns for me. I never am the one to get the promotion. I'm always broke. This always happens to me. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Why would people do that? Because the tongue has great power. Remember what he said in Matthew 12 and verse 37? By your words are you justified, and by your words are you condemned. And we saw this with the children of Israel. Remember in Numbers, I believe it's over there in chapter 14 and verse 27. Remember God said, here's the land I give to you. They went into this land after being rescued out of Egypt. And now God said, I got a promised land. They go into the land, and what do they find? Walls and cities and fortresses. And they find people that are bigger than them. They said, we can't have it. We can't have it, even though God said they can have it. And what did they do? They grumbled, they moaned, and they groaned, and they complained. We can't have it. And what did the Bible say in Numbers 14, 27? Say unto them, Moses, as surely as they have spoken in my ears, I will do to them. What's he saying? I'm controlled by your words. That's what he said. And the Bible says that if any man stumbles not in word, that man is a perfect man, can control his whole body. We need to watch what we say. And remember we talked about how, this is the review, that the whole thing here is review still. We talked about how God has given us a blank check. Amen. See, blank checks don't mean anything if they come from a poor person. President Trump gives you a blank check, and oh man, now we're talking. Now we're talking, right? We'll take it. Well, if God gives you a blank check, President Trump ain't got nothing on God. Bill Gates ain't got nothing on God, right? Amen. But God gave us a blank check. What are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, he said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. He said, all things are possible. Anything you need, that's a blank check. Anything available, that's available. He said, if you can believe, right? So we said this, what's the blank check that God gives us? Faith. Faith can move mountains. Faith can turn situations. Faith can cause things to appear out of nowhere. Faith can cause things to go away that need to go away. Yeah, all things are possible if you can believe. Not if he wants to do it. He already wants to do it. He proved it by giving you Jesus. He wants to do it. Faith is the blank check. But we saw on that message that August 6th, that the way that you fill in the blank check is with your words. How do we know? Well, remember, over there in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side, begging, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shut up, blind man. And they said, he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And it stopped Jesus, and he called the blind man. Remember, blind Bartimaeus threw off his coat, and the blind man came to Jesus. And isn't it interesting? The blind man came to Jesus. Now, let's fast forward to the end, because remember what Jesus said. Your faith made you whole. He didn't say, thank God that I was here today, blind Bartimaeus. No, God's power is everywhere, always. But you have to learn to tap into it. Yeah. And he told blind Bartimaeus, your faith did this. So we know it was his faith. But then what was interesting is he stood before Jesus as a blind man. And you know what Jesus opened his mouth and said? What do you want? What do you want? Why would he ask a blind man that? Why? Because Jesus can't just do whatever Jesus wants to do. If blind Bartimaeus would have went up there as a blind man and said, what do you want? My shoulder. I have faith for my shoulder to be healed. Jesus would have healed his shoulder. Well, he'd have walked away blind. Why would Jesus ask him, what do you want? And what did blind Bartimaeus say? My sight. And Jesus said, it's yours. Well, the blank check was there, but how did he fill in what he wanted? With his words. With his words. Jesus said, you'll have what you say, right? So it's important that we have what we say. Now, you need to get that message and listen to it, because that little brief review will not get it into your heart like you need to, because so many people, sometimes I just like to walk around and just slap people right in the face when they talk. Don't say that. Don't say that. What are you doing? Don't say that. You don't realize. Death, you're creating things. The tongue is a creative force. You say, what can it create? Death and life. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. People are creating death in their life. People are creating life in their life. Amen. When I was $2,000 short every single month, $2,000. People freak out to me when they're $100 short. I'm like, $100? $2,000 short a month for 2 years with a baby. I didn't beg God for it. See, you got to learn to be skillful. Old time religion's getting people, their brains beat in by the devil. You got to be skillful with the word. You got to learn to cooperate with God. See, what people don't realize is there's a God side and there's a man side. God does something and says something. Man then does what God says to do, cooperates with God. Then God comes through on the other end. So when old-time religion is just, well, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. No, that's getting people's brains beat in. Yeah. We have a part to play in all this. So we need to get that stuff down in our heart, start saying right and being skillful with the word. Praise God. But I want to go a step further tonight. Because one thing that we are around here is word of faith. What does word of faith mean? Now, the word of faith movement camp, at times it can get the wrong stereotypes, because then you start lumping in with, well, they're just name it and claim it people. They're just people that can just say whatever they want and it'll appear. Well, that's not what the word teaches. That's not what I teach. The word of faith is you hear the word, find out what God says. And then the word of faith is you get it in your heart, and then the way you release your faith is through your words. That's what Jesus said. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:13, go back to that message and you'll see that the way we write those checks, those faith checks, is by our words. Faith is always released through your mouth. See, I don't believe that, Pastor Mike. Well, how did you get saved? You didn't get saved because God just chose to save you, no. You first believed in your heart. But then the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord. Why? Because the next verse says, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made to the promise. So if you're believing in healing and you need healing, you better start speaking healing. You're believing for prosperity, you better start speaking it. The confession brings the possession. It's the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. But get that message. We don't need to repeat all that. But what happens in our camp, in the Word of Faith camp, because we're big on speaking the Word, we should be. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Will you pull that up in Mark 11:23? I just got to get this all swept out here. Amen. My spirit just won't let me go forward until we look at this. Good. And that's why I just tried to, I wish I could just open your head and shove it in there, you know, because Mark 11:23, notice what Jesus said. For therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. The next verse says, he'll have whatever he says. It does not say you will have whatsoever you need. Come on. It does not say you'll have whatsoever you want. It does not say you'll have whatsoever you beg for. It does not say whatsoever you daydream about. No. If you're not saying, you won't have. Why? Jesus said, you'll have what you say. The confession is the vehicle to bring the possession. Amen. Amen. It's true. But, oh, I always tell you, you know Suzanne Summers. She had the butt and the thigh master. Remember her? I say we need to get some spiritual thigh and butt masters, because Pastor Mike sometimes throws in those butts. We got to get those butts out of there. That's what the thigh master, the butt master was doing. Bun master, just getting rid of those things, you know, getting them smaller. That's what they're for. That's what it was for. Well, we need to get rid of these butts. But so we got to speak the word. But go with me to Romans 8 and verse 14. Oh, yeah, and I'll say that, Father. Oh, there's a lot of utterance tonight. Someone's been praying. This is why, I'm not talking about me, and I'm not talking about this place. This is why it is vital for people to have a Bible teaching pastor. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I came in January 10, 2002, got born again in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. Came in broke, came in addicted, came in sick, came in depressed. And I, guess what, as a Christian, God's child, once I received Jesus in that hunting cabin, guess what, I became his. I became his, but guess what? Still addicted, still broke, still depressed, and still sick in my body. And months went by, and I stayed sick, and I stayed broke, and I stayed depressed, and I stayed addicted, and I'm his child. Okay, we got to go there. Go to Matthew 9:35. You're making me do this. None of this is in my notes. Your hunger is pulling this out, but it needs to be said. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Don't take my word for it. Never take my word for it. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, sickness and disease among the people. But, oh, there she is again. Oh, man, break out the exercise equipment. But, so here was good things, but he says there's a but. That means something to it, more to it. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, or like sheep having no shepherd. Please, Kim, will I pull that up in the Amplified Bible? Hallelujah. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity. Jesus went Mr. T on them. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor, what are you talking about? I pity you, fool. Remember Mr. T? Yeah. Mohawk, gold chains. I pity you, fool. Jesus went Mr. T on the multitudes. Yeah. He said he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Why? Here he's healing them. Here Jesus is in their midst and he feels bad for them. Why? Because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That word shepherd in the Greek is the word pastor. You take a natural sheep and get rid of the shepherd, and guess what? They're in trouble. No one to protect him. No one to help mend their wound. No one to be there for him. No one to help them. No one to sow into them. No one to feed them. How is it that I was sick, broke, addicted, in poverty, hurting, depressed, as God's child? Didn't have a shepherd. You know when my life changed? My life, the start of the change, when I got born again. You know when my life took off? When I planted under a Bible teaching pastor. I went from the dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, scattered, and faint category to the victorious, the overcoming, the prosperous, the healthy, the joyful. So many, this is why I started this off by saying, because remember, you made me do this. When I started off by saying, is why people need a Bible teaching pastor, because if Jesus said you'll have what you say, a lot of people don't know anything about faith, and they're sitting there with their sitting on their hands and just waiting for God to do something. Why aren't you moving, Lord? Why aren't you moving, Lord? Don't you care? Must be this isn't my day today. Must be my number didn't come up on the heavenly slot machine. If you don't cooperate, you know how I know? He's willing to let people, his creation, die and walk into the pit of hell if they don't do what he said to do in the word to cooperate with salvation. He allowed the children of Israel who just had come out of Egypt and he wanted to deliver them. He allowed them to wander and die in the wilderness because they didn't have faith. Amen. And people all over the world are going to church to ease their conscience and are sitting in seats like I did, like so many of you have that have testified to me, and are just wondering, where's the change? Where's this God, this great God in the Bible? Nothing's happened in their life, not cooperating. He can't violate his word. Now again, I didn't. That was not a plug for Pastor Mike or Family Church. That was a plug for the Word of God. Now, if you're called to me, everybody has a shepherd. Everybody's going to be called to a shepherd. But you know what's interesting? Jesus was in their midst, and he said it wasn't enough. He was right there, and he said, I'm not enough. And so many times people will say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I don't need a pastor. I got Jesus. I can have a relationship with God and not go to church. Yeah, you can. But you'll be in direct disobedience and you'll be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed like sheep without a shepherd. Absolutely. People say, oh, I got my Bible. Yeah, but if you'd read your Bible would tell you to get your butt in church and find a pastor. It just would. Yeah. I remember the guy that was, remember Jeff Trussler at the Jamestown Church? He was full of addictions, you know. I grew up with him. I saw him fall out of a tree stand one time. His dad and my dad built a tree stand, and he shouldn't have got up in this tree stand. It was old and rotted out, and I saw him fall down and break his arm. And oh man, Pastor Mike turned pale that day. I don't do well when I see other people get hurt, you know? And I thought I was about to see my lunch. I thought so. It was close. I held on though for dear life. And I made it. But anyways, he was addicted and I heard so many bad things about him. And one day I saw him at Jamestown Church at a special guest minister meeting. I about fell over seeing him in church. I said, brother, what in the world are you doing here? You know, that's a great way to start off a conversation and be shocked that he's there, you know. But I couldn't hold it back. What the world? How'd you get here? I don't know if he thought and said bar on the front or what, club. I mean, that's just the way he was. And he told me that he had gotten saved, you know, and his life was starting to turn around. Well, he asked me to come walk the property that he fell, the tree stand. You know, I hadn't been there since I was a kid. And that day I got him filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And, you know, through the Lord, I just did what the Bible said to do, and he got filled, you know. And he told me a story. He said, you know, Pastor Mike, he said, told me all his problems, you know, he had. He said, I was walking down my country road that I live on, and I was just mad at the world. Everything was going wrong in his life. He was dejected, scattered, bewildered, distressed, helpless. And he's born again, by the way. Or no, he wasn't born again at this time, forgive me. But he's outside in the devil's kingdom. The devil's just running supreme in his life. And he sees a bunch of wadded up newspapers on the side of the road. And so he's walking by it night after night. He's getting annoyed. Who would do that? You know, just everything. You know, you get to the point where everything's making you mad. He's like, I'm sick of seeing these things. I'm going to go pick them up and throw them away. We picked them up, and there were Bible verses on the newspaper. So he started reading it, and it spoke to him. You know, the Bible's alive and well. Even on a country road, a wadded up newspaper, that's the word of God. And spoke to him. Well, he got born again. He said, for 2 years, I started studying my Bible. He said, I saw a little bit of growth, but he's like, I felt like I kept hitting a wall. Still addicted, still broke, still all these things. And I'm God's child. He said, and I studied the Bible for 2 years. And he goes, you know what? The conclusion I came to at the end of the word, after reading it for 2 years and studying it, I can't do this by myself. I need a shepherd. Well, that's what Jesus said. See, the people that don't think they need a shepherd think they know more than Jesus. That's a problem. And he learned, and he got connected with Pastor Tim at the Jamestown Church. He's no longer addicted. He's married now to a wonderful girl, has a business now. I mean, my God, the turnaround. Amen. Now, can I get back to my message, please? You got to cooperate with the Lord. So this is what I was saying in Romans 8, verse 14. See, if people don't know this, they won't partake of it. They won't go down the road of receiving from this, and they'll lack. In Romans 8, 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible tells you how God leads. He doesn't lead in your mind, in your thoughts. Sorry, he doesn't. In fact, the Word says his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He doesn't lead in the flesh through emotions and goosebumps and tears and happiness. That's not how God leads. He leads by the Spirit of God. Now, again, I've taught a whole series on how to be led by the Spirit of God, so I'll just quickly wrap that up in one little quick ball. What happens when you get saved is your spirit, you are a spirit, the real you is a spirit. The natural man's going to just rot here on the earth. When people die, their body stays, their spirit goes up or spirit goes down. That's the real you. When you get born again, the Bible says you're made brand new. But when I got born again, I didn't get taller. I still look the same, unfortunately, for everybody else in the whole wide world. I still look the same, still had the same problems, you know, didn't look any different. It's true, I didn't. Didn't get taller, muscles didn't grow. What the heck? Come on, Lord, you could have included some of that stuff, but you didn't. And but the Bible says I was born again. Well, what was born again? My spirit. My spirit was brand new. But another thing that happened at the new birth was the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came in the inside of the Christian. And the Bible, remember Jesus said, it's better that I go, for the Holy Ghost is going to come and he'll be with you, but he'll also be with you and he'll dwell in you. So the Holy Ghost comes in and dwells on the inside of you. And so you got your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And the way God leads, remember the Holy Ghost said, in John chapter 16, you'll find all this. He said, the Holy Ghost doesn't speak on his own behalf. Whatever the Holy Ghost hears, that's what he says. So what happens? The Holy Ghost hears from heaven, orders from headquarters, and then the Holy Ghost relays it to our spirit. And then if we do what the Holy Ghost says, it leads to increase. He says, I lead by the Spirit of God. If you don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God, you don't know how to be led by God. Well, you know, I got a better job offer and it pays more money. That must be God. God doesn't lead by money. I had one person there planted in church. So faithful. God turned their life around. Miracle, signs, and wonders. Said, I'm not going to live in Western New York anymore. Why? Sunshine down south. I said, oh, God leads now by the weather? Come on. Just hear their whole life changed. I'll tell you what. If I'm getting taught the Word of God and I'm growing in the Word of God and I'm planted where I know I'm supposed to be, I don't care if it's Antarctica. It's going to be more blessed than on the beach of Miami or somewhere. It just is. You got to go where God's telling you to go. Amen. Well, I'm led by the weather. I'm led by finances. I'm led by, oh, they look so good. Who cares if they look good? It's true. You can't be led by that. Well, they were nice to me. Yeah, okay. Well, you know what the devil can do? He can wrap up a stick of dynamite in the prettiest box and put a bow on it. Oh, yeah. That's why the Holy Ghost keeps you safe. You've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. It'll keep you safe. It'll save you so much. Praise God. It'll take where you are now, and it'll catapult you into promotion, into things. But you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, I taught a whole series on that. You can go back and listen to that. But what I want to say tonight is we are big on confession. Yeah. Okay, Lord, I believe him for my healing. I speak healing verses. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. He took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I'm healed. Psalms 103, verse 3. He heals all my diseases. I'm healed in the name of Jesus, and you should do that. Prosperity. Lord, you desire for me to prosper. You said money's going to come to me. Money, you come to me. I'm a money magnet. You're speaking the word, and you should. But you don't throw out being led because you're speaking. Because what you find, and I'm going to tell you, show you some things in the Word, is that oftentimes what you're speaking, the way you're going to move into that manifestation is through that speaking, that's faith, God's vehicle is faith, comes through that vehicle of faith and gives you direction of how to get into what you're believing for. Amen? Amen. Let me give you an example. Now, some of you heard this before. Some of you haven't, but even if you have, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Amen. I'm going to tell it again. before you start thinking, well, this is, I could go to major stuff of life-saving stuff. I could go to even more minor stuff than this. I could go to mid-level things on the crisis thing where following the Holy Ghost got me into something, got me out of something. But this example seems good on my heart. And before you think, oh, that's, remember, God said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. He said he would. Well, I just take him at his word. Now, I've told you this. I don't know why Pastor Mike Anderson's obsessed with the white-tailed deer. Did you know I was obsessed with the white-tailed deer? Ever since I was a little boy. I don't even know why. And you say, well, you just like to kill them? No. I most of the times I hunt, I just watch them. Very rare will I pull the trigger. Very rare. When I do, we eat it all or give it all away. Just so you know, don't send me any hate mail. I've been obsessed with white-tailed deer. I remember living in Jamestown, you know, and there was a road. I lived in town. It was, you know, it was not a big city or anything like that, but there's houses all around. But there was a road, if I'd ride my bike a couple miles, called Manchester Road in Jamestown, and it was in the country. And if you go at the right time, the deer would be out in the fields. Well, I'd get up in the morning and go and ride my bike down there in the summertime just to see the deer because I want to see them. One time on the way to my first Sabres game ever when I was a little boy, in the back seat I was just begging and asking God, please, Lord, let us hit a deer tonight. Let us hit a deer tonight. Oh, my dad heard me. He about pulled a car and rang my neck. Well, I didn't know what it could lead to. You know, I just wanted to get up and close personal to a deer. Well, I found one dead on Manchester Road, and oh, man, I spent my days there just poking and prodding that thing, just admiring. I don't know why. I love the white-tailed deer. I love the white-tailed deer. So God said, he gave me the desires of my heart. Well, just so you know, for those of you who aren't hunters, New York State is not the best state for deer hunting. They have a lot of deer. But if you want to go where, and this is so weird because antlers are just bone. I don't know why. The bigger that is, the happier and the more excited I get. Big bucks. I can't explain it. Your thing might be shopping. Your thing might be the beach. My thing's big bucks. It is. That's my thing. And New York State can get big bucks, but not consistently. And the reason for that is because we if you live in the Midwest, their ground is much different in what they produce in the genetics of the deer, and there's a lot more food available for them, and just certain things, biology and genetics and things, the Midwest grows huge deer. Your huge deer states are states like Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Ohio, right there in the Midwest. So that's where you want to go. You know, if Pastor Mike wasn't a preacher, I already told you what I'd want to do. Just move to Iowa, get a part-time job, take all of November off, and just hunt. That's what I'd do. It was up to me, but it's not, so I'm going to do this. Praise God. And so I started believing God. I said, Lord, I look up online, I see the prices of these hunts to go hunt at an outfitter in the Midwest. Now, I'm not against paying for a hunt to go hunt, and I'm not against believing God for that. But consistently, they're $5,000, $6,000 to go on a hunt. It's hard for me to pay that when I can hunt them for free. But they're giants out there. So I said, Lord, I was at my house walking my little, she was just a little puppy, little Willow, my black lab. And I was walking her, and I said, Lord, you know, you said in your word. Now, first of all, understand that my prior conversations with God have been, Lord, I'll give up hunting. I'll give anything up for you. My bags are packed, whatever you want me to do, Lord. I don't want anything to stand between me and you. But if you're okay with me doing this, and it's a desire of my heart enjoying, then I'm going to do it, you know, as long as it doesn't get in the way. And I've never had a check in my heart since I got my priorities straight with it. He talked to me about it before. So I said, Lord, I see in the Word, you said you give me the desires of my heart. Lord, I like the deer in New York State, but they're just not like the deer in the Midwest. I said, Father, I would like, if I was to be honest with you, Lord, and I remember this. Okay, yeah, just in case you didn't know, let me show you a verse that'll bless you. You want to see a verse that'll bless you?
Amen.
Go to verse 24 of chapters, John chapter 16, just in case. Because you know what religion will do? Religion will tell you that you can't have that wardrobe. That new car you want? Come on, that's you're being selfish. That home that you'd like? No. There's more important things in the world. Well, in John 16, 24, it says, hitherto or up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. He says, ask and you'll receive. Why? And your joy, that your. He says, ask and receive, that your. He said, I want you to ask and receive so I can do something for you. What? I want your joy. Your joy. Not just your needs, man. I want your joy. Your joy. It's a personal joy of me, the white tongue deer. Some of you look at me like, this guy's a moron. Why am I here? I like purses. I like houses. I like cars. I like beach vacations. Whatever your joy is, thank God he gave you your desires. He gave me my desires, but he said, ask and receive that your joy. I want your joy full. Well, so I told him, I said, Lord, if I'm being honest, you can go back to Romans 8:14, Kim Lai. I said, if I'm being honest, Lord, the joy tank to be completely full for me, hunting-wise, would be to have a connection to the Midwest. So Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. So I saw it in the Word. I can have this. So I said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And I'm walking my dog. Right there on the right in the grass by the road there, I said, I thank you, Lord. I receive that. I believe, because faith is believing, you have it before you got it. I said, Lord, I thank you that I receive a connection to the Midwest that allows me to hunt there for free consistently. I thank you for it, Lord. Now, in the natural, how's that going to happen? Well, you don't realize how impossible naturally that is. You know what property sells for there? And I don't have that money at this point in my life. And if I did right now, I would use it for that. Nobody's given up their hunting spots in the Midwest. It's big dollars. I mean, if you have property in the Midwest, you want to lease it? Oh, that's how you make your money. The big hunters and the big TV shows and stuff, they come in, they gobble all that up. Or people that get on these hunting leases with 10, 15, 20 guys, and they buy this up, and they each spend a couple grand a year just to lease the property, not even to own it, just to have the hunting rights. And nobody takes you to their secret spots. Nobody's just saying, yeah, come on, let's go. So naturally, there's no way. But thank God we don't have a natural God.
Amen.
See, you got to get over that whole thing you have right now, the thing you're dealing with. There's no natural way. Who cares? Who gives a rip? Are we dealing with the natural? If we're dealing with the natural, you might be in trouble. But we're not dealing with the natural. We're dealing with the way maker.
Amen.
You know what a way maker does? They make a way. Waymaker, maker of ways. Say, he's a waymaker? Well, what happened when they stood at the foot of the Red Sea? Egyptians bearing down. They got mountains to their right, mountains to their left, and Egyptians chasing them. And they got a body of water in front of them. There's nowhere to go. And there's no way until the waymaker shows up and makes a way, and the water goes zoop, and the ground gets hard, and they go across. He made a way when there was no way. There's a song, you know, called The Waymaker. Jesus made a way when there was no way. Woo, it'll fire you up. I'm telling you, if you don't want to get fired up, don't listen to it. Say, there's no way. Yeah, there is. Jesus is the way. He's the way maker out of the situation you're in. If you just get your faith in him, he'll make the way. Moses had enough faith to reach up and grab that rod and smack that water, because that's what God said to do. Well, what in the world does that have to do with anything, Lord? Well, that goes along with what we're saying tonight. God will tell you to do things. That doesn't make sense. Just do it because God said to do it. Smack the water. Bam. Water went up. They're delivered. So, Lord, I'm out of a place in the Midwest to hunt deer consistently. There's no way that's going to happen. Well, it's like 3 or 4 weeks go by. And I'm every day doing what the Word says. You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. If you want it bad enough, you're saying it. If you're not saying it, you don't want it, because Jesus said you'll have what you say. So if you're not saying it, you're not having it. You don't want it bad enough. So every day, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for a place in the Midwest. I think it's coming. What am I doing? Releasing my faith. Releasing my faith. Well, I go to get a new bow. And I'd never been to this archery shop. I'd heard people talk about it before, but it was run by some Amish guys. I'd never been there. And so I needed a new bow, and I was going to go to the normal place I get my bow and buy my hunting equipment. And I had an inkling in my heart, a leading. Remember how God speaks a still small voice. Still small voice. He doesn't jump out of the cake and say, here I am, do this. That's not how God leads. It's a still small voice. That's why you got to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. Go to that archery shop in Panama with those Amish guys. Okay, that just seemed good. You know, I would try to go to the other place. I just can't buy my bow there. Don't know why. Nothing wrong with it. Still buy stuff from there. I go to the archery shop, and I walk in the archery shop. And from that moment, I knew that I will never buy a bow from anywhere else as long as I live, as long as these guys are in business. I just knew. I had that knowing that it was so excellent in there. And I look on the wall, and there are giant deer on the wall. Wow, this place is awesome. They must go somewhere to hunt or whatever, you know. And so I hit it off with the owner's son. The dad's the owner. He doesn't work there anymore, but Daniel Burkholder's his name. And Daniel and his wife Ruthie were about to give birth to their first child named Marcus. Well, they gave birth to him. Now, I didn't know this was right at the time. And so I got my bow set up. I get my bow. I come back in, and Daniel's not there. And his nephew Marcus is working there. And I said, Marcus, where's Daniel? I said, oh, man. Ruthie gave birth to Marcus, but they're just going through the ringer, you know, and mentioned all these things that were wrong with him, and it was pretty serious at the time. Man, my heart just compassion, you know, as a parent. Yeah. Hearing about that with your child, you know, and their child and the new, you know, everything should be exciting and joyful right now, and here they're up in Buffalo Children's Hospital, which is hard as an Amish person because their friends and family can't get up there as quick as we can, you know. And I just had just compassion for him, and I go get in my car, and I'm kind of bummed, feeling bad for him, and the Holy Ghost says to me, go visit them, bless them, and lay hands on their child. I thought, Lord, you can't be talking to me. Number one, I don't know these people. I said, number two, this is a super inconvenient time for me. And I said, number three, they're Amish. They're not going to let me pray for their kid. I don't know what they believe. And I argued with the Lord on the way home from that drive, and no, I knew I was to go. I went, you know, I'm so excited to help someone if I can help them, but I thought it was going to be a pain and get rejected. Remember, I just met Daniel one time, told him I want to get a bow. He sets a bow. If I go get the bow, he's not there. I walk into the hospital room, and there with the baby, and the nurses and stuff are tending to him, and their eyes light up when they see me walk in. They're flabbergasted that somebody would drive that far to see them, because I walked in there, I said, just had you guys on my heart, I wanted to visit you and see if everything's okay. They couldn't believe that someone that they didn't know would do that for them. And I got to talking, and I said, you know, guys, I said, I don't know what you believe, and I'm not trying to step on your toes. I said, but I've seen some things. And the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I said, would it be all right if I prayed for Marcus? And the whole time my head saying, here we go. Time to get kicked out. Here's where it's going downhill right now. They said, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They put the baby in my arms. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And you know, from that moment, that baby started to get better. It's a true story. And so I gave the baby back to Ruthie. I said, is there a store around here, Daniel? I said, well, so whatever. It was either Buffalo Children's or the other hospital. I can't remember which one it was, but there was a Rite Aid. It was the closest thing you could walk to. I said, let's go out to the store. So we're talking. He's like, well, what do you need here? I said, that's not what I need. I said, start picking stuff out for your baby. I loaded him up with diapers. And again, this the Lord led me to do this. Not yay me. But God needs people. Amen. God needs people. And so I loaded him up with diapers. And you know, they don't watch TV. And so I loaded them up with games to play while they were there, because they're going to be in the hospital for a long time. And loaded them up and went back in the hospital and bought them like a $50 Tim Hortons gift card because they're going to be there. And they're just blown away by it. But that's what the Lord said. He said to go visit them, lay hands on their child, and bless them. Okay, Lord, I don't mind. I like to be a giver, you know. Well, meet them, you know, everything, you know, leave. And get a phone call from Daniel. And he says, you go out to lunch or out to breakfast with me and my dad. And you know what I love about them? Is they carry around their own private stash of maple syrup. Because the restaurant is not good enough. They make it themselves. They're not going to be caught with that stuff, you know. No Mrs. Butterworth for them. Aunt Jemima, you're not allowed here. So they, and I'm witnessing this all the time. Now, one thing you don't know about Pastor Mike, you already know I'm a little weird and have my quirks. I have been obsessed since a child of wanting to become friends with the Amish and get a backstage pass into their life. Because as a young boy, I was intrigued by these people that still are in horse and buggy. And their clothes, intrigued by it. I was like, I want to get a backstage pass to the Amish. That's just always on my heart, a desire in my heart. I know it's so weird, but it's true. That's what I always would tell my mom, and they'd just shake their head at me. I said, I got to find out how I can get backstage passes to the Amish. That's what I'd say. I'm not kidding you. And so they asked me to go to breakfast, and I'm sitting there at breakfast with them, and I'm seeing them pull out their maple syrup and do their thing. And this is great. What is happening? And they said, you know, Mike, we can't get down. First he said, you know those bucks we have on the wall in the archery shop? I said, yeah. I said, man, you guys must have some good property right here. Oh, those aren't New York bucks. And I kind of thought, there's no way those are New York bucks. But I didn't know how they got them or what they had. I had no idea. They said, we have a lease down in Ohio. You say the word Ohio with deer hunting to me, and oh, it's like dollar signs in my eyes. Woo! We have a lease in Ohio. And we can't just get down there. We don't drive. And take a horse and buggy, take forever. It's over a 3-hour drive down there. They said, the guy that normally takes us just got a business down in South Carolina. He can't go anymore. And he's like, we get hundreds of offers a year. People try to take advantage of us because they know we can't get down there. And they see the bucks on the wall and they find out where we hunt. And so they offer to bring us rides. So we just turn them all down. We're not going to let people take advantage of us. And we don't want to go with just anybody. But we want you to be on the lease to take us to Ohio. And you can be on the lease and hunt there any time you want to. That's what they said to me. And as I'm sitting there here, as I'm trying not to be too excited, I'm like, oh my gosh, the prayer is being answered right now. Right before my eyes, three, four weeks later, right before my eyes, it's being answered. And I get on, so I'm like, okay, where do I sign? Sign me up, let's do this, let's go. And oh, it just makes me almost want to cry because you don't understand for me how big this was. I was down, so I did that and started hunting with them, you know, and I'll tell you what, the deer that I have seen in the 3 years that I've been hunting with them, I'm talking TV bucks, and I've had the closest encounters with the most giant deer. It's been awesome. But I've gained like almost like a best friend in Daniel. And one night, I'm sitting there after we get done hunting, and I walk in, or we get to the house, and there's horse and buggy everywhere. And these houses in Ohio, they're beautiful. I mean, they're just gorgeous, manicured, and so clean and huge. And I walk in, they have this basement that's beautiful. And that's where we were staying. We walk in this basement. They got, a huge kitchen in this basement, everything. It's gorgeous. And there are 50 to 60 Amish people. Well, they had a big family get-together that night. And it was so cool because there was like 20 little kids and they could not take their eyes off me because I wasn't dressed like them. My hair didn't look like them. I didn't talk like them and I was like the celebrity. And before they made all this homemade pizza and stuff, they said, Mike, we want you to go. You're our guest tonight. And so I went and got the pizza and sat down and I'm looking around. I'm like, I got my backstage pass right here. I'm spending the night in their home. When I go down, I'm like, this is... Now, as a child, it maybe wasn't the best motives, you know, just kind of like, what are they doing over there? But I was like, oh my gosh, Lord. And I'm on this lease and I can hunt any time I want to. And I have this best friend in this new archery shop. But what did it start by? I'm confessing the word. I'm confessing the word. I'm confessing the word. But how's that going to come to pass? God didn't just drop a hunting lease in my lap. God didn't just drop a hunting property in my lap and hit me in the head. No, he leads what? Leads you into those things by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost on the inside, the Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27 tells us, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's why I'm touching this area. That's where the Holy Spirit resides, in the center of man. And in my gut, I just know I can't go to that archery shop anymore. I have to check this out. And then he says, okay, that's step one. Now go visit their child. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's inconvenient. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do. Moses could have said, Lord, hit the water. Do you see the Egyptians coming? Hit the water with a stick. Hit the water. It's up to you, Moses. You can go back into Egypt if you want to. Or you can hit the water like I said. Remember when Jesus in John chapter 2 in his first miracle at Cana of Galilee? Remember Mary came up to him in John chapter 2 and said, hey, they've run out of wine, Jesus. And he said, woman, what are you talking to me about this for? My hour's not yet come. Well, she picked up something spiritually. She knew, she sensed something about her son. She said, well, if we need a miracle, go to him. But he said, it's not my time yet. But he didn't say my week, my month, my year. My hour's not yet come. She knew, oh, it's close. And you know what she did? She didn't say, oh, Jesus, you're right. Sorry, I was bad. No, she turned to the servants. Ooh, I get chills when I think of this. She said, whatever he says, do you do it? Notice she didn't say, he's going to say something logical to you, then do the logical thing. No, she said, whatsoever he says, do it. That means it can be crazy, it can be logical, it can make sense, it can make no sense. Whatever he says, do it. Yeah. And what Jesus say? Said something illogical, crazy. They needed wine. What did Jesus say to do? Servants, take those huge pots, walk down to the well, the water well, dip down in the water well and bring them back. Now, what would that do with wine? That's not how you get wine turned into wine. But whatsoever he says, do it. And those servants didn't argue, did they? Nope. They went and got it. And what the governor of the feast say? This is the best wine. Why he saved the best wine for last? Whatsoever he says, do it. You know, some people are confessing for healing and believing God for healing, and it's just going to fall in their lap, but they won't be sensitive to their heart to maybe change their diet, to maybe start working out, to maybe change their medicine. Say, really, Pastor Mike? Well, remember over there, I thought I wrote that down. Let me just check real quick. Second Kings. Go to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, I think, is Naaman in the leprosy. Yep, it is. 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's see. Go to verse 10. We'll just, for time's sake. Remember Naaman? He was a captain of the host of the king of Syria, one of the captains in the king's army. He had leprosy. And Elisha, who's Elisha? The prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God. The prophet was the mouthpiece of God, so when the prophet spoke, that was like God speaking. Look what the prophet said. Now, this isn't because the prophet made this up. The prophet got the instructions from God, and then he relayed it. He says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Go take a bath 7 times, Naaman. And you shall come again unto thee, and you shall be clean. Now, if you're like me and have an analytical brain, I have leprosy. I've swam in the Jordan before. I've done cannonballs in the Jordan, and I've come up every time with leprosy. I've never heard of anybody swimming in the Jordan and getting healed of leprosy. Is there some kind of special medicine for leprosy? No, the answer is no, there isn't. But God said, Naaman, go dip 7 times. Well, why'd God say that? I don't know. I'm not him. But I've learned something. Whatever he says, do it. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll become out clean. And look what he says here in verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. But Lord, I don't want to go to that archery shop. Had no idea it was connected to my blessing. But I don't want to go visit them. It's uncomfortable for me. It's not convenient for me. Go dip in the Jordan. I thought you were going to stand there in the name of Jesus and perform a miracle to me. Oh, missing the whole point. In verse 12. Are not Abna and all those names there, rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? He's saying there's better waters. You tell me to go to Jordan? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet have bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he says, do you go wash and be clean? He says, he hasn't even told you anything major to do. Just listen to him. And we know the end of the story. What did he do? He went and did. Dipped in the Jordan 7 times. Guess what? Came up clean. Wouldn't have got that. Now, here he's believing for his healing. Wants his healing. A lot of times people are confessing for their healing. Confessing for their money. And God says, do this with your finances. Wait till we get into the prosperity series when we talk about giving. And giving by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you the story about the time in little old South Dayton when Pastor Mike asked Jeff, how much was the offering this week? And Jeff said, $101,000. I said, what? $101,000? He said, yep, showed me the number. What in the world? How that came to be was being led by the Holy Ghost. I could tell you story after story financially. When I was going through a problem, and we'll prove this by the word. Don't take. And God said, "Hey, your way out of that is to sow your way out of that. Sow this amount of money." Well, I'll just tell you this. We'll close here, and give me just a few minutes here, talking about following the Holy Ghost here. The house I'm living in, Holy Ghost, had no money to buy that house. Had no money. The bank approved us what the bank was saying they'll give us for. We didn't even have it when Courtney was working, and she's the one that made the money, had the degree, and now she quit her job because the Holy Ghost told us to, and now God's trying to get us into a house, told me the house is mine, that the bank wouldn't even give us the money for when she was working. Now she's not working, and we're on just my salary that I just started getting a small amount of pay from the church. And the God's saying, this is your house. And you know how we'll tell that story in the prosperity message. I got into that house because the Holy Ghost told me specifically what to say and what to do, and now I'm in it. I could tell you time and time again, well, that's what I was going to say, is that when I was in California years ago with the church, and we're believing God to get out of the storefront into our building. It cost money to get a building, and we didn't have the money. And there was an offering being taken up. And I had it on my heart to give a certain amount. Well, I'll just say this. I had it on my heart to give $1,000, which would have been 1/20th of all the church had in the account. And we need like tens and tens of thousands of dollars to even get into this building. And I had it on my heart to sow $1,000. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me in the service, give 5. I said, now, Lord, I don't know what math is like up there. This is going through my head. That's 1/4 of all the church's money. You're telling me, when we're believing you for money, to give 1/4. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. He'll increase you. I don't want to go get water. Well, don't get wine then. I don't want to dip in the river. Don't get healed then. I don't want to smack my stick on the water. It doesn't make sense. Okay, go back to captivity. I'm struggling with money, and God's saying, I'm trying to get you out, son. I'm trying to get you out. So I wrote the check, and I sold $5,000, 1/4 of all the church's money, and I know you're thinking, my God, who's in charge over here? I do have a board. You have to understand there's a board that oversees me, but I'll tell you what, my board will never, if I know it's something from God, then never get in my way. And that, if it, you know, come to them something unreasonable and crazy, and they yank me out, you know. But that's the problem with some of these churches. They let people in the seats vote for things. And the people in the seats that are out looking at the internet and wrong things are voting to do what the church. The pastor has a vision. God always leads by a man or a woman, puts them in front, gives them the vision, says the people are to help them carry it out. And churches that have boards voting and have people voting, it's so anti-Bible. People in the seats that can't treat their wives right and their spouses right are giving them a vote. People that kick their kids around. And it's the truth. And they're voting on what to do in the church. But it's important to have a board to oversee, because if I get squirrely, someone's got to yank me out. And so I sold that money. And it was within, I don't remember how many weeks it was. I get a phone call. Somebody asked me to come over to the house. We need to see you. It sounded pretty important. So I went there. And I mean, we're struggling financially. I just gave $5,000 away. One-fourth. And we're trying to get into a building that I've committed to, because the Holy Ghost said to. And they pulled out an envelope and said, here, go. I get in my vehicle, start driving away, open it up, a check for $40,000. It gets better. I go to the post office the next week, and I see a check or an envelope entitled to Family Church. Open it up. There's a check from somebody that doesn't even go to my church for $25,000. This is real. If you learn to follow the Holy Ghost, you won't believe the increase in the catapult, in the advancement. See, what you're struggling in now, God knows how to get you out of it. You think it's hard for Him? No. Someone that's lost in the forest and can't get back to their vehicle, if they could see themselves from an airplane view and had a walkie-talkie to relay down themselves, say, it's easy to get out of there. Just turn left and go 400 yards and you're safe. But when you're in there, you're like, where do I go? What do I do? That's the way it is with people in their life. I don't know what to do. God's sitting up there from a perched position saying, I have your answer. Call on me. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Ask me. Talk to me. If you learn to be led by the Spirit, I'll get you out of it. I requested him Midwest places. Well, that's easy. I know how to get you into that. But you got to cooperate, son. Go to the archery shop. Okay, now go visit them. Lay hands on their kid. And look what it led to. And he'll do the same thing for you. So yes, we got to confess, but you have to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? And if you say, I don't know anything about following the Holy Ghost, you got to start learning it. I can teach you how to do it. There's messages online from where we preach this stuff. I can get you materials. You've got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Most Christians are mind-led and body-led, flesh-led, and they struggle. They go around the same mountain of defeat. The Holy Ghost will lead you out of your problems and lead you into your best life ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight. We're just so grateful. Oh, Father, this was worth it. This was worth it, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us, all that you've given to us. Jesus, you are Lord, and we worship you and bless you. Father, I thank you so much for our help tonight. Yeah, we got to say, but in the midst of our saying, we better be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because that's how you're going to bring it to pass. You're going to lead us into some things. So, Father, we thank you for our help tonight. Thank you for our increase. We thank you for our blessing. Now, as I look around, I know everybody in here is saved. I know everybody's God's child. But if there's someone listening online right now or in the future by the archives, you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, all you have to do is cry out to him. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Just simply say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do his part. He'll make you his child. And then I encourage you, give me an email, give me a phone call. Let me know you prayed that prayer, that you asked Jesus into your heart. And I'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church where you can start learning all these things. Start walking into more in your life. God has so much more for you. Let's stand to our feet together and just worship him. I want to encourage you to worship him. I dare you just to lift your hands and worship him. Just stretch yourself out of your comfort zone. Say, what is it with raising hands? The Bible says that it blesses the Lord when we raise our hands. Psalm 63, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, don't cast away the raising of hands. It's something about it that he likes. It's worship. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father, and bless you tonight. Thank you that we're walking into more. Thank you for increase. We bless you. You're the one. You're the answer. You're our help. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you all. We'll see you Saturday night at 6. You're dismissed.